I am the bread come down from heaven. Whoever comes to me and believes in me and eats me will live forever. Come, believe, that call goes out, and recognize today that if you believe the gospel and you've come to Christ and you've looked away from yourselves, any works that you do, and trusted in Him, you are evidence of the Father's power to give to the Son these people whom the Son has saved and will not lose one.
The glorious truth found in John chapter 6. Welcome. This is Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Good to have you with us today. We are continuing our survey of John, and we are in chapter 6, looking at verses 30 through 40, and the amazing truth that Jesus is presenting to a stubborn people. Join us and be encouraged, huh? Here's Chris.
In chapter 5, Jesus said, you're trusting in Moses, but Moses is going to accuse you. And I stopped this week as I was working on this and thought, it's one of those moments in the Gospels where you have to almost recognize and sort of think a lot about how much God had done for them and how much He had provided for them, when it's kind of this aha moment, did they even know Him? See, what didn't He do for them? Pulls them out of Egypt, did all these signs in Egypt on the Egyptians. They sat in Goshen and watched the whole thing. God would say, I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. What a beautiful statement. You have this language in Scripture all over the place. And you think about all that He did to provide. The Psalms celebrate the food, the provision, the care, the homes, all that they enjoyed from the fatherly hand of God. And here Jesus is saying, you've been trusting that Moses did that. What hasn't the Lord done for us? I mean, really. Think about it. He heals you. Psalm 103, He feeds you. When you're discouraged, He lifts you out of the pit. He renews your strength. What hasn't He done? And what's our danger? We take all this, and absent is from our mouths daily our Father in heaven. Hallowed be your name. I so trust you, Heidelberg, and I do not doubt that you will provide everything I need for body and soul. Instead, we're worried about what things in life? Well, there's a reason the Lord told us not to worry, and the Father will feed us and care for us. And yet, just like these people, what are we worried about right now? Everything else? State of the nation, spending all our time looking for political and social solutions to maintain a way of life that we never earned or got in the first place ourselves. This is the scene. We'll put you up as king now if you can fix all our problems, Jesus. Set it up. Notice what they wanted from Him. They wanted an insurance policy is what they wanted, that would promise them another prophet like Moses. And who had come to them? See the problem here? Who had come to them? They didn't see that. I think this is one of the most important sections that leads us to the beauty of what you think about when Jesus gives the high priestly prayer. Remember what was the heart of that prayer right at the beginning? One of the most beautiful statements in all of Scripture that Jesus prayed to the Father. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. All these years, they didn't know Him. There's an exposure here of this problem. So that's the big picture to this passage. That's the big issue of this passage. They didn't know what they needed most. They didn't know why Jesus had come down and taken on a human nature. They didn't know what their greatest need was. And they didn't know what the Exodus event was all about. In other words, they missed the true provision. They missed what the Father had really given them in the manna. They missed what the test of the manna was signifying to them, what it was telling them. They missed their biggest need in life. And Jesus goes after it. My Father gives you the true bread from heaven. What a thing to say. And then he says this, for the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Give us that bread. Now that should be familiar to you. I'm triggering your minds here for a minute. That should be familiar to you. They don't have an idea of what he's talking about. That's been the problem in John's gospel, hasn't it? They don't know what he's talking about again. How many times have we seen this in John? This is why ministry is so hard, by the way. You preach, you preach, you preach, you preach, and until spiritual eyes are opened, it doesn't take root inside. The gift that Jesus has been talking about the whole time is what? John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Their answer is, give us that bread. And they've already said, tell us how to get it ourselves. Remember? What shall we do? Notice that here in the beginning. What shall we do that we work the works of God? That is right back there in verse, you'll see verse 27, do not work. And then they said to this, verse 28, they said to him, what shall we do to be doing the works of God? Give us that bread. It's just not connecting. It's in their minds. We have to do this. You know, that's the greatest fight with the human heart. Right here, right now. I'll give you an example, and I'm not giving a political statement on this. Chris Cuomo gave a spiritual attack this week on the news. Here's what he said, and you see it embedded in the human heart right in this comment. If you believe in one another, and if you do the right thing for yourself and for your community, things will get better in this country. You don't need help, and he pointed from above. That's right on CNN. It's not a political statement. That's an assault on God. See the problem? It's right there. It's within us. He couldn't have delivered a better quote for my sermon this week to use. You see our challenge right now? It's all about the horizontal. Even the newscasters realize it's just the horizontal. That's all that needs to be fixed. Bread comes down from where? We're done with the vertical. Post-Christian society's done with the vertical. God gets attacked all the time for failing us. And our solutions are all about making Israel great again. Whatever side of the camp you're on. But that's not our greatest need. And it's at this point, there must have been a great cry from Jesus. I know he did this in John 7. I don't have the tone or expression here. But I think if we would have heard Jesus preach, he would often give cries where it just stopped everyone. And this is one of the most powerful, the beginning of the I am statements that I would have loved to have heard from his mouth, because I think it's one of the most beautiful things I've ever heard in the Bible. I am the bread that has come down from heaven. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. Who says that? Moses didn't say that. You see the fight here? I have come down as God's solution to give life to a dying, dead, under the curse world. God so loved the world, he gave me as the bread of everlasting life. What do we need to do to do the works of God? Just tell us. How can we accomplish our happiness? If you didn't catch it, this is the same fight that happened with Nicodemus, but even more particular as John's revelation progresses here. It's the same fight that happened with the woman at the well. Jesus came and offered her, think of the figures, he's claiming everything, temple, life, light, I'm living water, I'm bread. Jesus offers her living water. Well, where's your bucket? Where's your bucket? You don't have a bucket. Listen, he says, remember what he said. Did she hear him? If you knew who was speaking to you, you would have asked, and he would have given you living water. She says the same thing. Give me this water. Give us this bread. Give me this water. They don't know what he's talking about. You see why Augustine said years ago, our hearts are restless until they find rest in Jesus. All of us by nature are trying to solve our misery. We're running around every week and we're falling into sin and we're struggling and we're discouraged and we're down and we're looking at the world and we're just torn this way and that way. We're thrown this way and that way. Everything seems to rise up against us and we're all trying to solve it and we have a million idols to run to and we have little fountains that we run to, living water. We have our own bread that we're going to go get and we're craving and we're jumping and we're never satisfied and we're always on the run. We're always on the move to the next thing that will finally solve this great problem in my life. And it's a never-ending heartache of tragedy and saga, and it never ends. You know it. Lord, and the Lord here is saying, if you drink any other water, if you eat any other bread, you'll never be satisfied. It's such beautiful imagery that he's describing him with. Give me this water. I'm tired of coming to this well. It's hard work. Give us this bread. Listen to me. I am the bread. I am the water. And whoever eats of me will live forever. I am that bread. And when you eat of me, you'll never hunger and you'll never thirst again. That's what he says. I'm the bread of life. He who comes to me shall not hunger. He who believes in me shall never thirst. Doesn't Jesus show us this everywhere in the Gospels? You ever wonder why in the midst of all this Pharisees and people angry at him, people wanting to stone him, people wanting to kill him, you get scenes like this? Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet. But she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore, I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little." He's showing you pictures of people filled all over the place in the Gospels. But here's the problem today. Verse 36. "But I have said to you, you have seen me, and yet you do not believe." I think you kind of stand back from this, and I think the effect should be the same as with the rich young ruler. When after the rich young ruler had come to Jesus and sought to enter eternal life, two verbs, on his own power and his own strength, Jesus levels him with the law. Jesus crushes him with the law. He walks away sad. The question of the disciples was this: how can anyone be saved? You ever felt that? How can anyone really be saved? Is anyone even going to be saved? That was their question. And I think we close this section today with one of the most beautiful, encouraging, comforting things that we read in the scripture. Jesus grabs the promise of the Father and speaks Notice what he says in verse 37. All that the Father gives to me will come. Now, keep in mind, he just said, you've seen me, you don't believe. It's almost as if he's vindicating himself right now and then explaining how it's going to go. But I want you to know something. This is the feel of it. I want you to understand something. You may not be believing. You're not coming. But I want you to know this. All that the Father has given me will come. And whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. For I've come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. That is a remarkable statement. Unbelief is the response of our hearts. That's what's in there. And there's no amount of convincing or evidence or even a resurrection that can overcome that. Because if you saw resurrection today, says Jesus, people still wouldn't believe. How's it going to be overcome? Jesus just told you. When he said, this is the work of God that you believe, I think this section is meant to describe something that should blow our minds. The power of your Father in heaven to draw every last one of those given to the Son who will be there for eternal life and who will receive eternal life and who will believe unto eternal life. I'm not taken by your unbelief, says Jesus. This is really freeing for ministry in some ways. It's heartbreaking at times when you see it, but you realize that the results are his. My Father has given me sheep to get, and I want you to know I'm not losing one of them. That's why I'm reformed, by the way. That's why I believe in election, by the way. He just told you. That's so. I'm not going to lose one of my sheep that were given in the covenant of redemption to me. They will come. They will believe. And my work will be intensely successful. I am the good shepherd, he will say in chapter 10. I know my sheep, and I'm known by my own. As my Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for my sheep. And other sheep I have, he's talking about you now, which are not of this fold, them I must also bring. They will hear my voice. See the confidence in that? They will hear. Even though we have the scripture showing us people who wouldn't, these people will hear my voice, and they will be one flock and one shepherd. Jesus is not frustrated. They will eat, and they will be satisfied. And notice Jesus says something beautiful in verse 38. I have not come down from heaven to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. In this dark realm of the dead, in this place of the devil's darkness, with the utter inability of everyone to believe in me, my whole purpose in coming is to overcome that and to set my seal and my love of eternal love from the foundation of the world. I want you to know not one of, I think John wanted all of us to read this with gasping joy. Not one single sheep of mine will be lost. I lay down my life for what purpose? That in the black hole of my death, that the Father who has given me these sheep to save would rescue all of them. And that's why this beautiful promise in verse 40 is here. I will raise them up. You're going to get out of the grave. Death is impending for all of us. I'm going to get you out. That's the best news ever. I mean, that really is today the best news that could ever be preached. That's the best news that could be said if you understand your human heart and you understand how much you are craving for everything under the sun but him. What a mess this world is. What a mess we are. And what this tells us is that apart from divine grace and power, this is us. We are them. So where does that leave us? It leaves you with a call. I am the bread. Come down from heaven. Whoever comes to me and believes in me and eats me will live forever. Come. Believe. That call goes out. And recognize today that if you believe the gospel and you've come to Christ and you've looked away from yourselves, any works that you do, and trusted in him, you are evidence of the Father's power to give to the Son these people whom the Son has saved and will not lose one. That's what Jesus is saying to us. Eat me, drink me, be satisfied. I pray that everyone here today has done that. And you can say with the psalmist, our soul delights in the Lord. We no longer hunger. We no longer thirst. We have found rich food, food freely given, food that we don't purchase with money, food that has come down from heaven, food that has saved us, food that has given us eternal life. And that food is Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for such a beautiful text. And even though it's difficult to walk through and see unbelief, we have to have a mirror held out to really see us. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for saving us and for your tender mercies. For Lord, we still will, even in this week, try to test out other delights, and we're foolish. But we are so grateful for the saving power of God in our lives, and that we have a true satisfaction in the person and the work of Jesus for us. Hear our prayer and receive our thanksgiving today for so great a salvation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And amen. Oh, what an amazing look. Had an amazing passage of Scripture. In spite of the stubborn hardness of heart, Jesus is still eager to get them to see and understand the truth of his gospel. Well, this is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Our hope and prayer is you've been encouraged by today's program. If you would like to take advantage of many of the resources we have available on our website, might I suggest paying us a visit? agradio.org. Videos hosted by Pastor Chris, articles written by Pastor Chris, past radio programs are housed there as well. Again, agradio.org. Plus, it's a great place to give tax-deductible donations to the radio ministry, as it is through those donations that we're able to continue on this radio station. Again, agradio.org. Or give us a call, 888-504-8805. 8805. Questions? Address them to questions@agradio.org. And don't forget, when you visit agradio.org, you'll find links to our Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram accounts as well. Once again, here's Pastor Chris with a look ahead to tomorrow's program.
See, this is the big issue that the Gospel of John is constantly challenging us with. This is the remarkable claim of Christianity, that the eternal Son of God, equal with the Father, power, majesty, glory, the eternal Son of God has come down and taken to himself a human nature and come among us. And as John said in chapter 1, we beheld that glory. We know that glory. The glory of the one who tabernacled among us. He's reading Exodus again. And when Jesus said, the Father has set his seal on me, what Jesus was saying is, I'm the only answer given, and this is a matter of life and death for you. And that's the big issue in the Gospel of John, and that's the big issue for Christianity today. You're either going to write off Jesus as a narcissistic madman, as people do, or a great teacher, or you're going to recognize, as Thomas did, my Lord and my God has come to us. This is why Lewis would say, liar, lunatic, or Lord. There's your choice. So here we are. This is exactly what's happened here. And to make it to heaven, you'll notice here, the only way to make it to heaven, the only way to be saved, is to receive the one that's come down from heaven. The only way salvation comes to us is God coming to us in human flesh, human nature, taking on one.
Oh, we have an amazing program in store for you tomorrow as we continue our journey through John. Make it a point to spend time with us, and that's tomorrow on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, this is Chris Gordon, pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. I'd like to invite you to our Sunday worship services at 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. on Sunday. We have two worship services, 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. We preach Christ and Him crucified with the goal that you would live in the joy of this comfort in the knowledge of the forgiveness of all of your sins. 1864 North Broadway is the address here in Escondido. We'd love to see you this Sunday.